When you feed yourself good food and lift, your body will reward you with a hot rocking body. It just will, because you...
Welcome to the Midlife Reinvention Podcast, a podcast helping women in career and life transitions achieve clarity on their next steps so they can transform uncertainty into an energizing next chapter. I'm your host, Kavita Ahuja, and the founder of It's My Time Now Coaching. If you're wondering what's next in your career or life, you are in the right place. Through solo and guest episodes, you'll gain practical tips, tools, and inspiration to help you uncover blocks, gain confidence, and be, do, and have what you want. I rediscovered myself after the age of 50, and I know you can too. It's my time now to help you do just that. I'm so excited you're here. Let's dive in. Welcome, my friends, to a whole new month in 2024. So hard to believe we are already into February. I hope you're excited for what is in store for you this month and beyond. And I know I am, because here on the Midlife Reinvention Podcast, we will be bringing to you some new formats and shows to really help you as you are navigating changes in your career and your life. So the question is, are you struggling with changes in your body and confidence during menopause? This and other questions on why menopause wreaks such havoc in our bodies will be answered by my next amazing guest today, Barb Hawken. Barb is a go-to menopause fitness coach who believes that when it comes to transforming the middle-aged woman's body, making simple tweaks in the kitchen and gym can cause their health to improve and their confidence to soar. In this episode, you'll discover why you should eat more and exercise less during midlife and menopause, why lifting heavy is far better than hours of cardio in the gym, what are the best types of food you should eat to lose weight and keep it off, regardless of your age, and why the next 30 years can be the most fulfilling, energizing, and confident time in your life. So if you're struggling with weight gain, belly fat, hormonal changes, and lack of confidence, then this episode is for you. And don't forget to stay till the end for an amazing offer for being our loyal listener. I'm very pleased to have on the show Barb Hawken. Barb is the go-to menopause fitness coach who believes that when it comes to transforming the middle-aged woman's body, making simple tweaks in the kitchen and the gym can cause their health to improve and their confidence to soar. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm looking forward to hearing your story and getting some insights from your experience.
Thank you.
Yes. So, Barb, many of the listeners of this podcast are women who are going through a transition in their lives, as we discussed, and this could be career transitions, or it could be relationships or transitions or health changes. And you also experienced these changes in your life, and especially when it came to your health. So maybe you could share a little bit of your story and how, what happened to you and what led you to what you're doing today.
Sure. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So I will fast forward from when I was 16/17 years old, when I started my fit life. We didn't call it back then. I just loved working out in the gym. And I have had four sons, as you said, and I homeschooled them. So it was kind of crazy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I did not work out, train is what we say, for about 8 years in my 40s, like a really important time. You don't really want to take that time off, but I had to because they were small. So then at 47, I just kind of said, hey, two are going off to college. I'm going to get myself back into shape, because I was doing cardio like a lot of gals my age. That's how we were raised, right? Let's mm-hmm. do cardio. I mean, I taught aerobics in high school. So it was, that was kind of the thing that we all did. And so, but I didn't lift in my early 40s. And so I was skinny fat. I weighed the same. And I said, okay, I need to join the gym. So I did and changed my body, really body composition. Took me longer than normal because I didn't eat enough, which is, again, a very prevalent situation with a lot of my clients. When they come see me, they're just not eating enough. Again, in the 80s and 90s, we were told kind of to diet all the time, don't eat any fat, and kind of to remain skinny. And so a lot of issues, metabolic health suffers, adrenals, because we will do a lot of cardio, we won't sleep or rest very often. And so it took me a little bit longer. It took me a year and a half to really totally recomp my body, which is a little bit longer because I didn't need to lose any weight. But anyway, most of my clients are peri to postmenopause. I am very postmenopause, being 56 now. And so lots of changes definitely happen in menopause and going into postmenopause. With every additional year that I'm on the planet, I have to continue tweaking things.
Mm-hmm. So it was really your personal experience with your health changes and kind of the struggles you had with it that made you decide that this is what you wanted to do to educate other women. Is that correct? Or?
Oh, when I went into menopause at 51 and my doctor sat me down. Now, when I was 50, he said, oh, Barb, you're not in menopause and nowhere near, although that could change quickly. So the next year at my visit, he said, oh, you're in menopause. Okay. Come into my office for a 45-minute talk on hormones. And I honestly thought all doctors did this with their clients. Turns out, after talking to all my clients and numerous people through social media, that is not the case. I have like the best doctor, obviously, on the planet. And so
I did not get that talk. Okay.
And he talked to me about the changes and bioidenticals, and he was very articulate, but I was very confused. And so I went home confused. And so I researched, I'm a big researcher, researched a lot through scientific journals, didn't find a lot for menopause. There just is not a lot of information. But what I did gather is we needed something in society. So that's how I started my fitness program, is for menopausal women. That's why I did it, because I know I like to research. I've always been a stay-at-home mom. I have time to research. A lot of women don't. You don't have an extra 1,000 hours. So I took what I love to do, and I knew I needed to even go deeper in, because I was confused. It took me 3 years all along about bioidenticals and what really is menopause, and let me just figure it out myself. So again, I was already in shape, because remember, I had got myself back into shape at 48. I've never been out of shape since. So what I do and teach gals to do, you only have to get in shape one time. I don't care how old you are, one time, and I will show you how to sustain that. And we travel 14 weeks a year. I mean, we're all the time traveling, eating out at restaurants, which does cause inflammation and bloating, but I show my clients how to get around that and kind of when you're at home, what to eat and how to manage everything with literally little tweaks in the kitchen. Things don't happen overnight, because a lot of this is very confusing and overwhelming for women. If you've never needed to worry about weight gain or belly fat, which a lot of women haven't until they reach menopause. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different contradictory stories surrounding it, especially if you're dealing with, say, a younger coach trying to teach about menopause, which is the case because we're the ones with all the money. Okay, 50-year-olds have all the money versus 30-year-olds. That's a known fact, right? We have the wealth. So if you were, it's not downing on them, but if you are a 30-year-old and you want to attract clients, you want to attack women who are usually 45, 50. People see me coming when I walk into a store. Oh, here comes Barb. Let's sell her something, because I'll buy anything practically, right? It's just we do that. And so, you know, it's, oh, yeah, sounds great. Here's my credit card. And so people know that. And so a lot of confusion, especially if you have a coach who hasn't even had children, she hasn't raised kids, dealt with husbands, how to raise them, and all that, plus your own changing body, which definitely happens a good 10 years before menopause. I realize that when I was around 42, 42 and a half, that my body was changing. The belly, it's like, dang, what's this? Yeah. You know, I started doing Pilates. And the Pilates will help a little bit. But then once you get closer to menopause, I really had to up the game. And I did, obviously, at 47, 48. And I still do today, being 56.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I love that. You know, thanks for sharing. I think it's really important. Like what you said is that it's your experience and you were confused yourself. So you did the research and took the time to figure it out. And that's what you're teaching. And I think that's really important when you're seeking out a coach or somebody who is seeking guidance from is like, do they have the experience? Have they lived what you are going through? And the same with me. I was a career life transitions coach. I went through the transition in my career and I figured it out that this is the emotions that you go through. This is what you have to deal with. And this is how you get through it. But so, yeah, that's really important to have somebody with a lived experience. And so let me ask you, you touched on it briefly, but why, like just the fundamentals. So why does the body change so much and so rapidly in midlife? And you said you had this 45-minute talk with your doctor about hormones. And I said, okay, I don't want that right now, but just maybe a high level. I mean, I know from a biology background, but maybe for our listeners, like, why does it happen?
Yeah. So what happens is as you get closer to menopause is your main thing is estrogen starts dropping. And so all of your sex hormones, progesterone, testosterone, are affected by that. And also all of your hormones, right? Vitamin D, cortisol, your thyroid, which is the great regulator. And they all kind of become imbalanced. So a lot of gals, I'm not saying to go on bioidenticals. This is just what's happening in your body. When that drop in estrogen, it means the fat production, the distribution happens all over your body quickly. You will wake up and have belly fat. You'll have jiggle here. You'll have bra fat, weird places like my word. And it literally does come out of almost nowhere because the whole menopause from peri to post is just 2 years. A man, like my husband is 63, 7 years older than me. So a man, he'll go through something similar, but it'll be 10 years. So he will be like, okay, I'm getting older, a little slower. Maybe I'm putting on a little belly fat, but he has time to look at his body and change. For a woman, 2 years, you might think, wow, that's a long time, but it's not because by the time you figure things out, you're usually 6 months in and you're like, wow, I think I'm getting a little belly fat. And that is because of this drop in estrogen. Now, if you want to go on bioidenticals, it's good because it helps with certain cancers, because when you have a reduction, this really loss in estrogen, then cardiovascular disease increases, diabetes, osteoporosis, the whole bone. That's what we were told our whole life. Take care of your bones because you don't want to get osteoporosis. And also dementia increases. So these are risk factors that you can talk with your doctor about and also research, but that's the advantage of bioidenticals. Plus your hormones will be level. So no more hot flashes, night sweats. You'll have energy in the evening. And so you still need a weight train though, to build muscle and strong bones. You can't just go on bioidenticals and then sit back and drink margaritas every night. It's not going to work. So also what happens is in middle age, one thing is a great phenomenon. We're not sure, but there's studies about why women just don't exercise anymore. They're less active, middle-aged women for some reason. So coupled with menopause, because when, again, this loss in estrogen, your muscle mass begins to decrease as well. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a fight if you think about that. Okay, now I have to do something to reduce the fat, increase my muscle because I want to be toned. No one wants a flabby body normally. And I also want to be strong, right? I need to have strong bones because I don't want to get osteoporosis. I've seen pictures and I don't want that. And so weight training is the number one issue to do. It's the number one thing. It's also the number one thing you can do to prevent Alzheimer's right now, according to Dr. Huberman. He did a couple different studies on that. So it's really important. I do have the dementia gene. I have one gene. So of course, I'm definitely always lifting. It's really important for me. Obviously, my mom has level 6 dementia. I've seen it. It's in my family. And so I have it. And so, but even if I didn't, okay, it's that decrease in our hormones that can lead to an increased risk. So just it's kind of, I encourage all my clients, do a little research yourself. Okay. Yeah. You find that sort of information online readily, but the confusion comes in how much to exercise, what kind of exercise. Should you do cardio? Should you do strength training? That women get confused on that.
Yeah. I know a lot about this, but I didn't actually, when you said that about the 2 years, I didn't actually, that just kind of hit me as like, oh, I didn't even acknowledge, really think about that because it is 2 years, which is a short amount of time where all these changes, hormone, estrogen going down, flat, your belly fat going up, all these things, muscle mass going down. So there's all these things happening at once. And it's only 2 years where you average, right? Versus men, which is interesting. I never thought of that. But yeah, so I guess when we are experiencing this as women, what do you feel is the biggest in your experience and with your clients, what is the biggest kind of barrier that you see to weight loss, but also not just losing the weight, but keeping it off? And I'm 57, so we're on the same age. So we've all heard that eat more or eat less and exercise more, right? And how is that debunked and what should women do instead?
Yeah. So I always say, and on my socials, eat more and do less for sure. 100%. So again, we were raised to do a lot of cardio, but that is getting better. A lot of gals now know, gosh, that's not changing my body, right? Because cardio takes a lot of oxygen and muscle needs a lot of oxygen to be on your body also. So your body's number one goal is to keep you healthy and breathing without... Right. So if you're going for a run on the treadmill or outside, your body's like, wow, this girl's like practically killing herself. Let's unload some of that muscle from her body so she's lighter and she can breathe better. That's what happens. So if you notice, if you do a lot of HIIT or if you are a runner, your whole body shrinks, not certain areas. Okay. And so it's okay to do that cardio, but you want to prioritize lifting. So you build this lean muscle here. And the more lean muscle you have, the more fat you can burn off through metabolism, just sitting watching Netflix. That's what the whole goal is. More lean muscle, less fat. But the biggest thing is, number one, getting people to understand that, getting gals to kind of love lifting weights, getting them to lift heavy enough, progressively heavy. So if you start off with 5 pounds, okay, in a month, hopefully you're lifting 8 pounds of the same type of exercise, or you're still lifting the 5 pounds, but maybe hitting 12 reps instead of 10. That's progressive overload. So, and really continually lifting heavier when you can. And the big thing though is food, because I think everybody, a lot of gals kind of like to work out. They like to either at home or in the gym, but it comes to the food. And in menopause, I will say firsthand that is because I like to eat. I'm a power lifter. I'm a state record holder power lifter. I got a state record in April on the squat. So I have to eat.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Look at me, because I'm only like 114 pounds. You would say that girl does a lot of cardio and she hardly eats, but I don't do cardio and I eat a ton, lots of meat. Okay. But because I lift heavy, I need to eat and it goes to my body and builds lean muscle tissue and power and strength for my personal goals. And so it's just far as eating what not to eat. So I have my list of 15 foods. I share it with some clients if they ask me. And I told a client yesterday, she goes, oh, I need to look at your 15 foods again. I said, it's not really what I eat. What I really want you to pay attention to is what I don't eat, right? I'm a modified paleo, low FODMAP eater, which means farm to table, no preservatives whatsoever, no processed foods, no canned foods, no BHT, no food dyes for 25 years. I have a son with Crohn's disease. Boston Children's Hospital and Harvard Medical School taught us how to eat over a decade ago. Okay. Not so popular still in America. I don't know why. This is how long real food takes to get into society. But they told us no BHT. She said,
no, so BHT? BHT is?
Yeah. BHT is a preservative. It's a preservative. Okay. A lot of times found in canned goods. It's found in freeze. It's also in rotisserie chicken. So I'm like, oh man, there goes a nice week night. You know, I had all these four sons. I'm like, what am I doing now? I know rotisserie chicken. So it's just all the preservatives.
Yeah.
Because the preservatives also age you exponentially. And so I'm a really big anti-ager. I mean, why? Why should we age quicker than what we already are? So they really taught me a lot. And I've held close to that, this farm to table. It's how my mom cooked for me. It's not very honestly how I cooked all the time for my kids when I was very busy homeschooling them, but it is definitely the way that we have been eating for the most part the past 15, 20 years. But very challenging when you're eating out, especially seed oils, which are in every restaurant practically. Very, very difficult because they coat the pan with seed oils. They'll put seed oil on the grill. Okay. Even if you say I'm allergic to seed oils, can use butter, they will be very frank with you and say, we can try, but this, that, the other thing already has it on it. You know that, but that will cause you inflammation. I always say a lot of gals, yeah, we kind of have fat in our bellies, but so much of it is not fat, but it's bloat and inflammation from our foods. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying 100% of the time, because again, we travel so much. I am consumed with a lot of these yucky foods when we're traveling. So what I can only do is control what I eat at home. And so that's what I really try to help my clients is you can cook double meat or whatever, more veggies at night, just like when you were cooking for your kids and packing their lunch for school the next day. Cook double and triple and take it to work the next day, because the worst thing is you're so starving when you get home from work and you're just grabbing things. Mm-hmm. And then usually it's things that aren't so good for us because someone in your household has purchased it, even though you don't want to eat it, and you'll eat it. And so it's really just little tweaks on meal prepping.
Oh, okay. I have a lot of questions. Sorry. Yeah. You said okay. You mentioned things not to eat. And so like farm to table is what you should be eating if you can. So no processed foods, dyes, preservatives, canned food, canned goods and all that. And the interesting thing was the seed oils as well. So those are like grape seed oils and any kind of any oils, like any?
Yeah, think of hydrogenated vegetable oil, which is in practically all packaged foods. So what I'd say is walk the perimeter of the grocery store and only reach in to get your coffee, as an example, because all the fresh food is on the perimeter. So if you look at a bakery item, it all has high fructose corn syrup. Okay. Yeah. It's yummy. Yeah. And because people don't cook with butter anymore. That is healthier for you. It's the best thing because it's what we need.
Okay, right, but maybe? Or ghee.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that is the biggest thing. If you can just start reading food labels, or better yet, don't buy anything with a label. But for some, that could be kind of hardcore. It's not that hard, though. So if you think about, okay, I want some veggies, I want some fruit, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to get some meat, fish, chicken, meat, whatever. Then you're going to go get some eggs and dairy if you eat cheese, butter. And then now you're back at the front of the store. You're going to take all that home. You're going to cook it very simply, mm-hmm. like say your grandma used to, okay, with some butter. And or bake it or grill it. That way it doesn't have any preservatives on your meat and your salad. Just eat maybe olive oil, balsamic vinegar on your salad. Never, ever salad dressing, ever. And because it will raise your triglycerides also, and it's filled with yucky stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole thing. If you can just not eat processed foods, no sauces, you will really help keep the belly fat at bay. You will actually lose weight by just changing your diet in a little bit without counting macros. You don't have to count calories for most people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm actually going through the way of eating right now, which is very similar to that. And I had a question regarding, so it's the type of food, but it's also the quantity and timing of food. So I don't want to get too much into detail because this is your, but I just think it's interesting because often we think that we have to, like there's those diets where you don't eat for 12 hours and you starve yourself and then you get really hungry, then you get a huge dinner, then you go to sleep, right? Whereas I think probably you'd agree is that having a few meals, like every 3 or 4 hours, or having something to eat keeps your insulin levels kind of steady. So any comment on that?
Yeah, no, that is true. And also, because when you go into menopause, the drop in estrogen, and because it does increase your risk of diabetes. So I would even further that say a lean protein every 3 hours, because remember, we're trying to build muscle. Doesn't mean we're going to get big and bulky. If you look, I'm not big and bulky at all. I don't want to be big and bulky. It would be impossible also, because you have to eat tons of food and kind of be on drugs at this point, right? A lot of drugs to get bulky. And that serves a purpose for some, like bodybuilders or something. But we don't want that. And so we want to eat the lean protein, though, every three and a half hours for sure. And like you said, to keep the blood sugar regulated. I'm hypothyroid, so I have to, I've always eaten every 3 hours. I just have to. I get that drop in blood sugar and I don't feel well. And so, and I have a lot of gals that are hypothyroid or Hashimoto's, is just totally a lot of them on my programs. So you just kind of want to do that. I would never tell someone to be hungry or to, it's just not, it's just not good for us. Now, fasting, you didn't bring it up, but as far as being into longevity, which I am, we do know that you don't want to eat right before you go to bed. You want 3 hours before your last meal and when you go to sleep, because when you go to sleep, that's when recovery happens. Your brain wakes up. You don't want your brain trying to tell your digestive system to chill out. So 3 hours is the rule. And then think about what the sun is doing. If you stop eating when the sun is going down and then eat, you know, within an hour, hour and a half when it wakes up, that is true fasting around circadian rhythms. I do not believe in fasting until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's just not a natural state, especially women in menopause, for sure. Because if I go 16, 17 hours without protein, I know it's really going to be hard to get my 1.2 or 1.3 grams of protein per pound of my body weight in that short amount of time.
Yeah, it's so true. Just following the, almost like following the sun, right?
It is a type of fasting around the circadian rhythm. And so even if you do that, you're going to fast around 14 hours, which is still good for longevity, but you're not thinking, oh, I got to fast, I can't eat.
It's just natural.
Yeah, it's very natural. You'll stop eating by 7:30. And then when you wake up, you'll start eating, it depends, maybe 9 o'clock or something.
Interesting. And so, Barb, you mentioned that you are, like a bodybuilder, you're a champion in bodybuilding and that. And one of So one of the things I think that maybe women maybe thinking, like, oh, I have to like lift really heavy and I'm going to get all this, I don't want this to be bulky and all that. So I guess there's two parts, is that how much lifting should they do and how much cardio? I mean, do you do no cardio or do a little bit of cardio, or how much, what's a good balance between weighting, lifting and cardio?
Sure. So one of the things is some people say, oh, I don't want a power lift, which is squat, bench, and deadlift, right? Those are the big lifts. Can I do something else to get in shape? 100% yes. I got myself in rock star shape. I never lifted a barbell until I was 50. Remember, I got myself back in shape when I was 47 to 48. We just didn't lift a barbell growing up at all. And so I trained on machines, dumbbells, normal things, what you do at a gym, hip thrust being the number one. I did a triple body weight hip thrust when I was 50. I would hip thrust 345 pounds, which is a lot. And so, but with powerlifting, I don't hip thrust that much. It's just contradictory to what I need to be doing. So you can do anything, right? I could stop powerlifting today and go back and do more of a bodybuilding. That's really what I was doing, and be fine, stay in shape, no problem. Again, because my food is on point. Number one is your food. I cannot overstress that enough. You have to always eat real food. Okay, for your body, that's going to fuel your body. You have to eat enough. Most girls are eating in a chronic calorie deficit. You're not going to grow any muscle. You're not going to get lean and toned. So I actually tell a lot of my clients, eat like a sumo wrestler and train like one. And then maybe, just maybe, you might get some legs, because they don't eat enough. 1,400 calories. They think that's a lot. And I said, you are at such a calorie deficit for so long. That's why your body's not changing. Okay. I have eaten in a surplus 3 seasons in a row, all in menopause, to grow muscle, really gain 10 to 20 pounds each time. Again, mentally telling myself, now this took 6, 7, 8 months. And then I lost it every single time in the summer, which you can do in menopause. I have proven that. It wasn't just one time, it was 3 times. I ate like my son, who was a wrestler. He would force feed me. And I would eat 25 to 3,000 calories a day. Okay. I worked out daily. Yeah, I wasn't even a power lifter the first time around. I was ninja training, doing fun things. You know, I would do pull-ups, whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. Your body, when you feed yourself good food and lift, your body will reward you with a hot rocking body. It just will, because you will just keep building this lean toned muscle. And so if you can eat enough, which is the number one thing, then and work out. I would lift 3 to 5 days a week, 45 minutes. Okay. When I decided to power lift, I hired a coach because I didn't know anything about it. And he said, I want you to stop doing any kind of high intensity because it's going to interfere with your recovery. He was right. I didn't listen for 1.5 years and I couldn't lift then. I would go and I'd do this 45 minute HIIT class, and I was so exhausted later, and I really couldn't then lift to my ability. And so I finally stopped doing that. And he goes, you are going to only train 45 minutes, 4 days a week. Great. I started my business. So I only lifted 3 days a week, right? Because I was so busy with the boys and my business. I got a state record powerlifter on lifting 3 days a week for 45 minutes each time. Again, because my food, and when I do lift, I'm serious. You know, I'm not playing on my phone. You know, you're in the gym and you're pretty focused, because I thought, why do I want to spend 2 hours in the gym like I used to when I was in my, 2 hours.
Yeah.
A lot of women, right? I thought that's what it took. Afraid to take a day off. I was so exhausted. My adrenals were shot and, you know, I wasn't recovering. I really wasn't building a lot of muscle. To hip thrust 345 pounds. Now, my genetics aren't really great for booty building, although I do have one now, but 345, I should have had, you know, really rocking booty, but I didn't, because I didn't eat enough, right? And so women are so afraid to eat. I was. Well, I don't want to eat carbs. Oh, I'll get fat. And once you start adding a little bit of food in that first 4 days, your belly gets a little bit big, just a little bit, you know your body's, and then you freak out, because what happens is the water is going to attach to the carbs and it's going to kind of fill your belly a little bit. It takes about 10 days for your body to realize, oh, wow, this girl's like finally eating. Yeah. I'm going to fix her metabolism, because if you're eating in a chronic deficit, your metabolism is shot. That's why people think, I'm going to eat less, I'm going to do more. And so they're ruining their metabolism, especially in menopause, as they're doing that. And so the best thing to perk up your metabolism is to eat more. Okay. 200 calories more this week. How's that going? Wow, I feel really good. Then the next week, add another 100 calories. This is not, because see, the thing of it is, fat doesn't come on overnight. You will have plenty of time to realize, oh, I'm actually not getting fat. I'm actually, God, my arms look pretty good because I'm lifting, and I'm adding just a little bit more food closer to my maintenance, because I know if I'm eating at least maintenance or 100 calories surplus, my body will reward me with some lean muscle. It's the only way to do it. You cannot build muscle in a calorie deficit.
Right. Makes
sense. So it's a big spinning around, and then also your metabolism will get shot. I have a new course coming out. It's all about metabolism. And so metabolic health, that's what happens in menopause, because it's against us anyway.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of this seems logical, but we've been so ingrained in our society as to what we should do. And I'm so glad that you're teaching this, and especially for women in menopause, it's so important to learn this. But I wanted to kind of maybe switch a little bit and talk a little bit about our mindset, and especially around confidence, and to take the next step. In like, as we're in menopause or looking at what's next, there's often that feeling of, I can't do this, or fear, or and lack of confidence. And this could also happen because we've gained weight, or we're not sure what's happening with our body. So maybe talk to me a little bit about that, and from your experience, how do we build that confidence to take the next steps? Hi, my friend, Kavita here. Do you often feel blocked from moving forward? We all feel that way at times. These are referred to as energy blocks. I've created a short, actionable PDF guide to help you release your negative energy blocks. Click the link in the description to download it now for free. Now, let's get back to the episode.
So I was a homeschool mom, very quiet, and I'm really an introvert. But as you can see now, I'm kind of not. So what happened was, by changing my body, again, I was always thin just because I had an experience when I was 20 after I taught aerobics. I was a hefty girl for about 10 months and very depressed, low self-esteem. And one day I was so fed up with myself at 20 that I vowed I would never, ever let myself go again. Never told my husband, never told him, that I vowed to myself and I kept my promise. I never let myself get so irresponsible with food. I mean, I had chocolate stains. I love ice cream. I ate chocolate ice cream every day. I wasn't teaching aerobics anymore. I moved to Sarasota, you know, nice beach town where I live now. My parents were here and I just did nothing. And so, I gained weight, but I was that whole mental like depression, never did it again. So I was always lean, thin, but as I changed my body when I was 47 to 48, I changed inside. I was like, wow, I really became more outspoken, more confident in that way, because I've always been a big researcher. I was a homeschool mom, so always a researcher, and would teach not only my sons, but other kids and stuff like that, but never really out there, would never get on film like I do daily on social media. And so it really changed me. It's kind of like, we call it the deadlift effect. Once you start, women, and I've had almost all my clients, when they get in shape, they're like, whoa, this is, your whole mind opens up. And I tell people, it doesn't mean you want to leave your husband. It's not like a midlife crisis in that way.
Yeah.
Because menopause is so challenging. Hot flashes and things like that, it can make you really grumpy. I went through complacency in menopause, even though I was on bioidenticals. I told no one, not my kids, not my husband. I was like, wow, I don't feel like getting up today. This is really weird. And if I had not had a business, I could just stay in bed all day, right? I'm a stay-at-home mom. I could just hang out. And I thought, this is really weird. So I really paid attention, and it lasted about 10 or 11 months. Again, I was on bioidenticals. Everything was balanced, but it is something that can happen just in the menopause gal. It's this complacency, like, what am I going to do? So I am a firm believer, just because I look to my own dad, who's 81 now, and he's very smart. And he started two businesses when he was 80. I mean, he's on different boards. His IQ is 188, which is quite a bit above all of us. And so he has to keep busy. But I'm like, two businesses when he was 80, and he's strong and just really with it. And I thought, you know what? I've got 30 more years. This is our time. Again, like I said earlier, we have money. Okay. We have our health. I never forget this. When I was younger, I would read Reader's Digest at my mom's, and there was this poll on people, and they said, what age were you happiest at? And they said 50. And I was like 35. I'm like, hey, that's so old. That's forever from now.
Yeah.
And the reason why they said that was because they had their health, they had money. Most of the time back in those days, kids were gone. They were kind of empty nesters, so they could start traveling and be together. And I was like, wow, that is so true, right? Because when you're raising kids, it's like, you know, you're barely sleeping and lots of stress. But at this point, it is a second blossom. It's a second bloom. And so a lot of my clients, I help them, because I'm also a business coach with some of my clients. They want to do this too. They just want to go out and help people, because that's what you do. You either volunteer, okay, at our age, or, you know, do something to help people versus sitting around. As one of my estheticians said when she was 50 and I was 49, and she said, Barb, I just want a slow fade. And I go, what does that mean? She goes, you know, just ride out into the sunset. I wasn't menopause yet. And I was like, wow, that sounds awful. I can't believe that she just said that. And so I really thought about that when I started my business also, because then I paid attention, and that is kind of the menopause kind of thing in our mind. Yeah. Yep. Slow fade and do nothing. And I couldn't imagine, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. I mean, that's exactly, honestly, why I'm doing this. This is why I've had this podcast, why I coach, is because I don't think midlife is a crisis at all. I think it's a huge opportunity. It's such an opportunity. And if you look after yourselves in the ways that you've taught us today, and it automatically improves your mindset, your confidence, your excitement about life. And, you know, I can see it in you. I can see the energy that you just, and I have that too. It's like, I just want all women to feel that way. It's just, it's not the end. It's only the beginning. And there's so much ahead for all of us. And I like that Reader's Digest thing. Oh, that one thing that came to my mind when you said that is that you've heard of the U-curve of happiness, right? Where the bottom is kind of at 50, but then it goes up. Like it's at a U-curve, that this is a time when we're not looking after others. Now is the time to look after ourselves. And that's why it's my time now, because it is. It's time to look after ourselves, time to not only physically, emotionally, mentally, and all of it together. And so that's why I like to hear from people like you who have these great examples of not only how you went through it, but how you're teaching others to go through it. So fantastic. That's great. So Barb, maybe you can tell us some of the programs you have. I know you have a lot. You're very active on social media, and tell us, our audience, how they can find you and what's going on right now with your business.
Yeah. So the easiest way is my website, barbhawkinwellness.com. It lists the programs. I mainly do my one-on-one coaching that is on a wait list right now. I do have openings coming up, I think one or two in November, but I have this really, I have not offered a group program since February. And so I always think and take polls on what women want, what is happening now. And the belly fat is always a predominantly factor. And so we always work on that. But metabolism is something that I have experienced myself, and it's not really prevalent in the menopause. It's not very popular, but I know that is something that needs to be addressed. So I have a metabolic and macro, because I'm a macro coach too, macro mastery class coming out. It's a course. It's an 8-week program coming out at the end of October. I'm really super excited about, because I stopped doing group programs pretty much last year to concentrate on one-on-one. But I really like helping one-to-many. I love helping lots of different gals. I've had my Slim Strength Behind the Scenes, which was my original program. It's been running for over 3 years. I have gals on it from the beginning that are still on it, because it gives them accountability and motivation. And and that is back open again also. Those are my really main three programs, and it keeps me busy, the one-on-one. And then it's a high level metabolic course. And then my Slim Strength is a lower cost, just kind of membership.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds like you have some great options. That's wonderful. And we'll definitely have all the links. And I like how you have the combination of one-on-one and group. So that's it depends on what people prefer, right? Yeah. So that's fantastic. Well, thank you. This was really great. Is there anything you'd like to kind of end off with, or any other
comments? I think that was it. We really did a lot, like a full circle, I feel, today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you again. All these tips were very, very helpful. And I usually end up doing like a summary of the key takeaways. So we'll have those for you as well. And good luck with everything. And I appreciate all your insights, and I look forward to all that's coming up for you.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
I trust you enjoyed this no-nonsense conversation and practical tips with Barb Hawken, and it gave you some healthy food for thought. Here are her key takeaways. Number one, you only have to get in shape one time, no matter what your age. Weight loss is sustainable with the right combination of exercise, diet, and lifestyle. Number two, our muscle mass decreases in menopause due to a decrease in estrogen, and weight training is a key to reversing this. Number three, eat more and do less. Number four, the more lean muscle you have, the more fat you can burn off through metabolism. Number five, foods which are farm to table with no preservatives or processed foods, no canned foods, no food dyes or BHT, no seed oils. Trust those foods. Go to the perimeter of the grocery store, not the inside. The biggest message I'd like you to take from this podcast is this. This point in our lives is like a second blossom or a second bloom. Why not make the next 30 years the best you can by becoming stronger, healthier, and more vibrant and confident with small tweaks which can be sustained? To that end, if you are struggling to take these next steps or to find the support you're looking for, I am pleased to share a special offer with you. I'm here to serve you, so I'm offering a free 1-hour coaching session with me to help you crystallize your visions for yourself. No obligation to continue working with me at all. Just 1 hour where I will dedicate to you. I really want to hear from you, my dear listener, on what your hopes and challenges are, and together we can work to create your best year ever. Simply click the Let's Chat link in the show notes and book your free 1 hour coaching session with me today. Until next time, remember, if not now, when?